Hey, everybody, do me a favor real quick. Find your pulse. See if you can find your pulse. I don't even know if you can. You can go here, too, if you're getting really aggressive. You feel it? Anybody got it? You can say yeah. You do? So that's your heart, right? You feel it going da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. And I looked up your heart on the Googles, and I found out that on average, the average person, that will happen, that da-dum, da-dum that you're feeling. It happened about 115,000 times in a day for the average person, pumping over 2,000 gallons of blood through your body every single day. And I don't know if you find that fascinating or if you find that really gross, but I know you find it important. I know you find it valuable. I know you're thankful for your heart because your heart is the thing that is keeping you alive one beat at a time. Your heart is the thing that is driving you forward, keeping you going one beat at a time. Like no matter which part of the body you talk about or you look at, the heart is behind it, right? The heart is the thing pumping what's vital for life to the body and making it do what it does. It's always your heart when it comes to the body. It's the thing behind the thing. It's the thing driving the thing. And that's what this series is called. That's why we called it Heartbeat. When we're talking about heartbeat, we're just not talking about your heartbeat. We're talking about our heartbeat as East Cobb Church. We believe and that East Cobb Church has a heartbeat, a thing that is pumping what's vital for life, if you will, to our body, to wherever we are. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about two things. I mean, a heartbeat is dun-dun, right? Like dun-dun. We're going to talk about two things that beat at the core, at the center of our church. Two things that are driving us to plant this church. Two things that are kind of unleashing our passion and our energy and your generosity and your sacrifice and all that you have already done to plant this church. Two things that are like the thing behind the thing. That anywhere that we go and whatever we're doing, no matter where we are, if someone like out in Cobb somewhere would have put their fingers on our pulse, it should be these two things that they feel. You know, like dun-dun, dun-dun. It's a heartbeat. It was a heartbeat to East Cobb Church, and that's what this series is about. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about East Cobb Church's heartbeat. Incidentally, you're also going to get a little bit of insight into my heartbeat because the two things that I'm talking about, these two talks or sermons, if you will, that I'm going to give today and the next week are, in fact, I looked back at this. These are the first two talks or sermons that I ever wrote in my entire life. Like way back in the day, not the same form, hopefully they're better than they were, but way back in the day when someone was like, hey, you should come up with something to say, these were the first two things that I talked about because these were the two most important things on my heart. The two things that we're talking about today and next week are what inspired me to start leading worship in college. That's kind of how I got going in all of this. They're what inspired me to go do mission work for 3 years in another country instead of going to grad school. They're what inspired me to start doing like preaching and stuff like this. So it's like my heartbeat. And I talk about these two things a lot. In fact, some of you might've even heard me talk about the one I'm talking about today in the last 6 months at some point, but I don't care because these things are like a heartbeat. A heartbeat isn't something you want to happen once, right? You want it to keep beating. It's something, things that you need to like remember and hear again and go back to again. And I am very excited to plant these two ideas like in the beginning of our church. So I'm excited to talk about our heartbeat. To get us going in the direction that I wanna go, to talk about this first thing, I do wanna introduce you to my family a little bit. You met my wife, but here are our kids. We got four kids. At one point we had four kids, four and under. And yeah, we're crazy. We just figured out what was causing it and we fixed it. But I'm just kidding. But yeah, so those are my kids. It's Cashman, Peyton, Riley, and Austin. And one thing that's interesting about our kind of family stage of life, we're starting to get to the point where we're getting the glimpses of what our kids think about when they think about us, you know, not just vice versa. For example, my son, I think this was first of the school year, or maybe this was last school year because that's a really bad drawing. But this is my son's drawing. He said, draw your parents. And that's what he drew. So we're not going to be artists. And that's okay. That's okay. But dad's at work and mom is having a shower. That was... But my wife's like, really? Really? I have a job and four kids and that's what you've boiled me down to, you know, a shower. And I told her, I reminded her, I think she got the better end of that deal because my daughter had one of these moments the other day. So she walked in and this was like, gosh, I think this was like 6 months ago or something. She walked in just to the kitchen and I was drinking a Coke and my wife was on her computer working and she's like, hey, what are y'all doing? And my wife said, well, I'm working and daddy's having a Coke. He's drinking a Coke. And so we were out in the neighborhood though, like fresh in the Cobb area, and we're out in the neighborhood, and we meet some people, and you know, we kind of have that conversation, like, what do you do? And then this guy turns around and asks me, like, what do I do? And my daughter's like, I got this. And she goes, mommy works and daddy drinks. And I'm like, hi, Jamie Dickens, East Cobb Church, how's it going? You know, like, you don't recover from that, right? That's not something you can, like, she's just kidding, you know? Like, anyway, you know, it's funny, and that's just silly, but it is kind of important, because what somebody thinks about when they think about you, be it your kids or somebody else, it matters. What you think about when you think about something, it determines how you feel about it. In fact, I brought a couple more examples. Like, take trampolines, for example. Most of you in the room remember in childhood, or you have kids who, when they think about trampolines, they love them. Well, this kid, this is what he thinks about when he thinks about trampolines right here. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna dunk that. Oh, yeah, no, that didn't work out so well. Or take marching bands, for example. A lot of people, when they think marching bands, you're like, football games, they're fun, they're exciting, they got cool beats, I love watching them. Well, this kid used to like marching bands, and so one day he's like, yay, I love this song, and the tuba player's like, no, you do not interrupt our performance, you know? Or how about magic? Some people love magic. When they think magic, they're like, oh my gosh, I want to see a magic show or whatever. Well, Sven and his brother, they had a magic show once, and this is now what they think about when they think about magic shows. They're not speaking English, by the way. That's Finn. It's really going to work out great. He's been practicing this a lot. Yeah, here we go. And then, oh no. I watched till the end of the video. They were both okay. No one, they did not just, you know, we didn't lose a kid there. But those are silly, right? That's funny, but That's literally how you get grown-ups who hate trampolines, boo marching bands, and will never go to a magic show, because what you think about when you think about something, it determines by like how you feel about it, whether you like it or don't like it, whether you want to do it or not, whether you think it's cool or lame or dangerous or safe or whatever. And the same's true of people too. I mean, we do this all the time in life. I mean, you got that coworker, you got that neighbor, you got that extended family member, and what you think about when you think about them is not the best, and you're just, it totally impacts your relationship with them. What you think about when you think about something, it completely impacts how you feel about them, how you relate to them. And here's the question to get us going today. What do you think about when you think about God? Like, what do you think about? Like, when you got up this afternoon and you're like, sweet, we don't have to go to morning church, we can go to the 4:30, and or somebody invited you and you're like, fine, I'll come. I met a couple of you who, it's your first time, you're invited by somebody, welcome. And you walked in here and somebody starts singing about God or talking about God. Like, what pops into your head? What do you think about when you think about God? Like, what do you imagine? And I've been doing this long enough, sometimes I ask this question of people, and I bet you know this is true too. If we could go around, and if we could somehow either get you to tell us what you think about, or better, we could like look into your brain and see what little picture is there, we'd probably see some similarities. I think some of us, what you think about when you think about God, maybe it looks something like this. Like what the image that pops into your head is this. You're like, yeah, that's kind of God, right? Like, God, not literally, you're not like, he doesn't work for the NFL, but like that God to you is kind of the God that's up there in the sky, and he's like throwing penalty flags. You know, he's enforcing the rules, and he's like, ah, you lied. Ah, I saw the way you just talked to your friend, your spouse, or whatever. I saw what you did in your office. Cheater, you know, like, and he's up there, and that's what God does. You know, he's like, you know, when you're a kid, you think he has lightning bolts, and then you grow up, and you're like, oh, he just has taxes and traffic, and that's what he does. He's like, ah, taxes, you know. But for real, I think some of you go, yeah, that's like actually kind of what I think about when I think about God. He's the God in the sky with the rules, and he's not happy most of the time. Or maybe this is what you think about when you think about God. Maybe it's a little more like this. Anybody got one of those on Alexa? And you can just like talk to it, Alexa, do something. It's like, okay, I will, you know? And maybe that's kind of how you think about God. Like when somebody says God or you come to church, that's kind of what pops into your mind. God is the thing you call, the person you call when you need something, want something, got a mess you need to clean up, got a trouble you need to get out of. I mean, whatever it is, it's like, bing, and you're like, hey, God, you know, would you please fill in, you know, and you fill in the blank, and that's kind of what you think God is like. That's kind of who God is to you. Maybe that's even what you kind of imagine, what God's doing in church, you know, like that God's up there, you know, somewhere, or maybe like up by the cross or something, and he's like looking out of the audience, you know, he's like, oh, and like the angels, you know, are there, and he's like, who's here today? Okay, Kevin's here. We'll give him that bonus. That'll be cool. Martha? Yeah, heard Her flowers will survive. She's been praying about those. Where's Jill? Is Jill here? Not answering that prayer. We'll let her cat die. You know, like the God's up there, like looking in church to see like what prayers are going to get answered, or who's needs and wants and whatever, or dreams and hopes that he's going to answer. And we're not all really sure how it works. We think we kind of have it figured out, but the rules feel really complicated. Maybe that's who God is to you, kind of like an Alexa in the sky or something like that. Or maybe this is more what you think about when you think about God. Not to be offensive, God, but some of us, like, legitimately, maybe when you think about God, you're like, this is the person my grandmother always told me about as I was growing up, and it's never really changed. Now I'm an adult, and I still think of God kind of in that category of like, he's nice, he's sweet, he has no idea what Alexa is, and he doesn't know a ton about my life. You know, this is the my grandmother's faith God. You know, he's old, out of touch. Not that tuned in. All right, maybe this is what you kind of think about when you think about God. I meet a lot of people that if you just boiled it down, this is literally, I mean, not literally, this is figuratively kind of what they think about when they think about God, that God's like a cloud up in the sky and he's like far away and you kind of like, oh my gosh, did I see him? Was that him? No, I don't know. That God's the far away God, the distant God that you can't know and that you can't see. And somebody probably knows him, like Andy definitely knows him. I might know him even though I'm kind of like Andy B team, you know? But you know, ordinary you, good luck, right? He's mysterious and transcendent and out there, and who even knows who he is? Or let's just keep it real. Some of you, maybe this is more what you think about when you think about God. My kids are all into Frozen. I don't know if yours are. Mine are little. Some of you have older kids. But I don't mean that he's like a snowman. I just mean that a magical snowman. I just mean that he, to you, sometimes you wonder whether he is in the realm of reality or fantasy. I just want to keep it real. I bet you there are some of us in the audience, you go, like, I struggle with that. Sometimes when I think about God, I'm just not sure. Is he like in the realm of real or is he really there? I don't know. And we could go on, but I mean, there's a lot of different versions or pictures I could put up on the screen, and I'm having fun with them, but here's what's important. I'm not making fun of any of them because I've thought almost every one of those at some point in my life. Those are actually real, valid ways that people think about God when they think about God. And I bet along the way I hit you and there's one of those that you're going, oh, totally, yeah. I have definitely thought about God, or I still do think about God that way, or maybe some combination. And the question that arises is, well, like, which is it? I mean, what should you think about when you think about God? And y'all, I think that is a really, 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 really important question. Here's why. Because it is no different with God than it is with the kid on the trampoline. It's no different with God than the kid running across the marching band or doing the magic trick. What you think about when you think about God is going to determine everything about how you feel about him, about your experience of him, and your relationship with him. I mean, come on, think about it. If what you think about when you think about God is kind of like he's a referee, what kind of relationship do you think you're going to have with him? Oh, I forgot to tell you. Y'all can talk back to me. There's no, like, invisible holy wall here. What kind of relationship do you think you're going to have with God if what you think about when you think about God is like, man, he's a referee? Legalistic. Yeah, a legalistic one. A not good one. How many referees are you tight with when they're on the field? No. If what you think about when you think about God is like he's some mysterious Alexa in the sky, and are you good enough and say it the right way, and then maybe he'll do it. What kind of relationship do you think you're going to get with God? Like an Alexa kind of relationship with God. I'm not super tight with any of the Alexas in my house. If what you think about God, when you think about God, is like he's an old man or he's a cloud and he's far away or he's distant, what kind of relationship and experience of him do you think that you're gonna have? Yeah, like a distant one, a boring one, a far away one. And what you think about when you think about God, it determines everything about how you feel about him and experience of him and your relationship with him. And I do think this explains a lot. It's explained a lot in my life. And I would guess that this concept that I'm talking about right now, it is exactly why maybe many of us in the room, you know what it's like to walk into a church like this or some other place where people are worshiping God or talking about God. It's why maybe many of us know what it's like to walk into a place like this on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon and see people singing to God or talking about God or doing their thing with their hand in the air, whatever that is, and praying to God, or you've listened to somebody talk to God. And it's why for some of us, you've seen that or heard that and you've gone, dude, I must have no idea what you think about when you think about God, because I'm in the same building, I'm singing the same songs, I'm listening to the same dude preach on stage or on the screen, I'm wearing the same t-shirt. but I'm not feeling what you're feeling. I'm not experiencing what you're experiencing. I'm not connecting with what you're connecting with. And I have no idea why. And what I'd just love to throw out as a suggestion to you today is this. What if the reason for that is because what you think about when you think about God is wrong? Like, what if the reason you're not sure that you like God, or if he likes you? What if the reason he feels really distant or irrelevant? What if the reason that you're having trouble connecting with him is because what you think about when you think about God is just not quite right? And I'm not just talking to people who aren't Christians or you haven't been to church in a while. I'm talking like Christians. Hey, what if the reason you feel like not as close to God as you wish you were or thought you were gonna be? Or what if the reason you feel like a little stalled in your relationship with him, like you used to be excited and now you're kind of like not excited or whatever? What if the reason is simply what you think about when you're thinking about God? Like what you're currently thinking about is not quite right. Like maybe at one point you had a clear picture of who God was, but you've drifted to some other picture that's not even who he is. It's just wrong. It's just off. And I think it's possible. In fact, I think it might even be likely. And I say that from personal experience. What you think about when you think about God, man, sometimes we just get it wrong. And I'll just to make sure you get the point across, here's how you might know. If who you think God is less than who you hoped he'd be, you probably have a bad picture of God. Let me just say that again. If who you think God is less than who you hoped he'd be, you probably have a bad picture of him, or an incorrect one, or an insufficient one. If you're not sure God likes you, if you don't see a connection between God and your everyday life, if you don't think he's interested in your everyday life, you probably have an off picture of who God like really is. You probably just got the wrong picture. If who God is doesn't inspire you to get closer to him, you might have a bad picture of God. If who God is doesn't make you think, oh my gosh, somebody else needs to know who he is, then you might have a bad picture of God. What you're thinking about when you're thinking about God might be a little off. And that's a really big deal for two reasons. One, it's gonna determine your relationship with him. But two, this is for us as a church, it's gonna determine the version of God that we export to the community. When people run into East Cobb Church, what kind of God are they gonna run into from you and me? So this is gonna determine that. That's why this is a big deal for us. This is a heartbeat level thing. And that's what I wanna talk about for just a few minutes as we dive into this idea, and because it begs the question, okay, well, what is it? What should I think about when you think about God? Like, how do you figure it out? And this is the cool thing about God. This is one of my favorite things about God. One of my favorite things about God is that he's like, you don't have to figure it out. Like, God isn't up there like waiting on us playing some picture game. Like, we draw a picture and he's like, cold, warmer, cold, no, colder, you know? God's not up there doing some guessing game. God's like, listen, if you're gonna understand who I am, I'm gonna have to show myself to you. I'm gonna have to tell you who I am. And that's what you see him doing like from the very beginning. Like if you ever read through these books of the Bible and kind of how God acted through history, that's what you see God doing. God's showing himself, you know? Like in Genesis, he creates the world. You're like, oh, he's a creator. God's showing you who he is, you know? God makes a nation. Oh, he's a ruler. He's in charge. He's like in charge of the universe and stuff like that. And he's involved in human history. He's like, God's showing a little bit more of himself. You get the whole temple thing and you're like, some of that's kind of weird, but it's like God's holy, you know, and he has this idea of what's best for us, and you know, God's showing a little bit more of himself, and you just, like, you see God doing that throughout the pages of history and prophecy and poetry that you see in the Old Testament, just God revealing a little bit more of himself and a little bit more of himself and a little bit more of himself and a little bit more of himself until you get to the point in the story where God says, all right, now I'm gonna tell you exactly who I am, and Jesus is born. And Jesus, he grows up and he begins saying really kind of crazy things that you don't say unless you're, you know, someone like Jesus. He says, hey, I'm gonna show you who God is. If you've seen me, if you'll look at me, if you'll pay attention to me, I'm gonna show you exactly who God is. And there's this really amazing moment in Matthew chapter 6. You can grab a Bible in front of you if you want and you can look at it. But Matthew chapter 6, there's this really incredible moment where Jesus makes like an introduction of who God is. And it's all the conversation of, I think he's this. And he's like a cloud, man. That's who God is. He's like a referee up in the sky. You know, like all the gods. It's not even one God. It's like Godza. And they're like all the referee. I think he's this. In the middle of all this mystery, confusion, and conversation, Jesus steps in. He says, hey, I want to show you exactly who God is. And the context of it is pretty cool. He's with his disciples, and the disciples, they kind of have that same experience I was describing. They're watching Jesus pray. They're like watching Jesus talk to God, and they're like, huh, what are you thinking about when you think about God? Because I don't have your experience. You know, we don't pray like you pray. So they come to Jesus and they're like, hey, teach us to pray. What are you doing? You know, what's your secret? Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, of course. And then the next words out of his mouth, this then is how you should pray. This then is how you should pray. Those are really big words. This then is how you should pray. This then is how you should address God. This then is how you can approach God. This then is what you should think about when you think about God. And the next two words out of his mouth were so powerful, they've been immortalized. In fact, some of you already know what the two words are that he says next. This then is how I should pray. Our Father. Our Father. Think about that for a second. Hey, Jesus, teach us to pray. Yeah, here's how you pray. Start right here, our Father. Jesus could have picked any word in any language in the history of the world, but he chose this word. He could have picked any metaphor, any image, any simile, any analogy, but he chose a concept that people did not think they could call God. Like, you didn't call God a Father, maybe Lord, maybe the Majestic One, maybe Yahweh, maybe some name like that, but no, you didn't call God Father. But for some reason, Jesus grabs the word and he goes, let me tell you the one word that most exactly and directly and perfectly tells you who God is. He is a Father. And he started saying this word over and over again. The Father, the Father. I came from the Father. I and the Father are one. I'm gonna go to the Father and prepare a place for you. I'm praying that you may know the Father and be one with the Father as I'm one with the Father. He's the Father, he's the Father, he's the Father. And by the way, just for the ladies in the room, he didn't say that because of God's maleness. No, both genders are in the image of God. He said that because he was pointing to the most powerful relationship that he had to point to in our context. He said, hey, you know what God's most like? He's like a father to his children. That's who God is. That's what you should think about when you think about God. In fact, one of his closest followers, the Apostle Paul, would take that a step further and write about it this way. I love how Paul describes it. Check out this verse. He says in Galatians, because you are his sons, God sent sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Like, God puts the Spirit of God inside of you when you put your faith in Jesus, when you're, like, as Jesus said, born again. That's what he's talking about. And this Spirit inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, calls out to God because he knows who he is. He knows what to call him. He gets the words exactly right. The Spirit says, Abba, Father, Abba. Anybody in the audience know what that Aramaic word Abba means? Yeah, it's like dad or daddy. In other words, the relationship Jesus is talking about, it's not like, hello, Father, you know, not like that. It's much more like, if you know, you currently have kids or you did, or you have a nephew or a niece or something, like when you see them and that kid's like, hey, dad, hey, daddy. It's like that. It's like me coming home at the end of a work day and then my son comes running like, daddy. It's like that. God's like, he's like, Abba, Father. In the middle of all the confusion and the questions and the conversation and the debate, no, God's this and no, God's that, no, God's this and no, God's that. I love it. Jesus steps in the middle and he goes, hey, time out. Shh, shh, shh. He's Abba. His Father. That's what you should think about when you should think about God. So, hey, what do you think about when you think about God? And what if it was that? Like, what if that's who you were convinced that he was? What if that was what your experience of him was actually like? That's our heartbeat at East Cobb Church, is that we have a God who is a heavenly Father. And I know there are some of you in the room who are going, heck yeah. Man, I needed to hear that. If that's who God really was, if that's who he really is, oh, that would change everything for me. Some of you sitting, I know you're feeling that. You know why I know that? Because I remember hearing this for the first time, and that's what I felt. I was like, are you serious? That would change everything if that's how God felt about me. And some of you are going, yeah. But I also know there's a whole, like, other group of us that maybe you're falling into one of two categories when I say, hey, God is a Father. There's maybe one of two responses I want to address real quick. Some of you are going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, who hasn't heard "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, the will be done on earth, come, you know, amen." And you're going, oh yeah, yeah, no, I'm, yeah, I've heard that. And I just want to say, look, I'm not hating on you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad at all. You're awesome. But if your response to that is just, oh yeah, then I would love to humbly suggest that I don't know that you get it. Like, you may have heard the words before, but I wonder if you've connected the dots. Because when you get the amazing thing that Jesus meant when he said that God is your Father, it's not like, oh yeah. It's like, oh yeah. It's like, you know, my heart's exploding with a little bit of worship right now. That's amazing. That's incredible. He is my Father. Like, when you get it, that's the response that happens inside of your heart. And so as I close in these last couple of minutes here, I would like to take a moment to describe or to tell you for the first time or remind you for the 500th time what amazing, incredible thing Jesus meant when he said that God was your Father. Well, that's what I think some of us may be feeling. There's another subset of us, and this is one that breaks my heart. Some of you are hearing me say that, and you're going, yeah, man, that sounds terrible. God is my Father? Yeah, my dad left. Yeah, my dad hurt me. Gosh. My dad never told me he loved me, ever. And oh my gosh, that breaks my heart. A man who is supposed to show you, albeit imperfectly, supposed to show you a glimpse of what God is like, did not do that. And I hate that. But so does God. And I just want you to know, when Jesus said that God was like your Father, he wasn't talking about your earthly father. He was talking about a perfect Father. He was talking probably about the Father you dreamed of having, that you wished you had. And if I could, I would love the opportunity to maybe remind you or maybe tell you for the first time the really, 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 really amazing thing that Jesus meant when he said, hey, you know what you should think about when you think about God? You know what you can call him, believe it or not? Father, Abba. And I could list a billion things, but I just want to give you three. And the first one is obvious, but I don't want to miss this part. I want to bring this alive for a second. Do you know that when Jesus said God's your Father, you know what he meant? One of the things is that God loves you. Like, holy cow, he loves you. You're like, yeah, 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 and God is love. No, just stop for a second. I want you to hear that. God loves you. The Apostle John says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. King David said that his love was better than life. Like, it was so amazing and it was so incredible that it's like better than life. King David, who had everything in the world, he's like, it's so amazing how God loves me. It's better than life. Capital L, life, the whole sum total of it. God loves you. Oh my goodness, he loves you. And here's what I know, because what's happening in you is probably the same thing that happens in me when I hear that. And I'm a professional Christian, so I mean, if I think it, then I'm sure you do too. But I wonder if when I say God loves you, the next word that pops into your brain is like, but. Oh yeah, I mean, God loves me. I mean, I grew up a Christian. I got it. I've heard that before. Yeah, but you don't know my track record. Like, I hear you saying that, but you don't know me. You don't know my story. You don't know my past. You don't know my track record. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've not done. Jamie, yeah, God loves me. God is love, blah, 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 meow, meow, meow. I've heard the verses, but I mean, you don't know how mediocre a Christian I've been. I mean, my faith, I'm like so meh. I mean, it's not terrible. It's just like meh. Okay, so God maybe loves me because it's in the Bible, but I mean, he doesn't like me. I know so many of us in the room struggle with that, some version of that. And if you are thinking that, and if you struggle with that, if you are feeling that today, I just want to let you know humbly, if I could, that you don't get it. Good news, you don't get it. That might be how referee God works. That might be how Siri or what Alexa God works. That might be how some other God works. That's not how Father God works. The Apostle Paul tells us how Father God works. He says that God loves to do something with that list of reasons. You know what I'm talking about? The list of reasons of why God should be mad at you, or he shouldn't love you, or he shouldn't be tight with you, or yeah, he might technically love you because, you know, he loves everybody, but like, he's not like you, you know? He's not like, oh man, my boy over there, you know? Paul says that God loves to take that list of reasons that you have, or that somebody else has, or that anybody else has, and he loves to nail it to the cross and then publicly taunt or mock your accusers. That's literally what Paul writes. It's incredible. And it's like this incredible image of God going like, oh yeah, you got a reason why I shouldn't love him? You got a list? Hey, can I see that? Bam, nailed to the cross. Like, God just gets a kick out of doing that. Like, oh, you got a list too? You got a list of why I shouldn't love her? Why I can't be her father? Why I shouldn't really just be madly, like, can I see that really? Yeah. Bam, nailed to the cross. You know, God loves that. Okay, oh, you got one? You got a really long one. Can I see it? Oh, shoot. Not, bam, nailed to the cross of Christ. Paul says God delights in doing that. It makes me think of a story. I tell the story all the time, and I don't even know if it's true because I was 7 when it happened. This is my memory of a thing that happened with me and my dad. I asked my dad, like, I told it in front of him when he was in the audience, and he just was like, hey, let's just believe it the way you told it, you know? But as a 7-year-old, I have this, 7 or 9-year-old, I have this memory of my dad going to a Braves game with me. He'd take me to Braves games, my brother and I, but this one was just me, and I was like walking, holding his hand. It was back in the day, thronging crowds. I haven't been in a minute. Maybe there still are, but they kind of went away for a while. And we're going to the Braves game, walking with the crowd, and I like let go of his hand to do something, and then I trip like little kids do, you know, like, eh, and I just fall on the ground. And my dad does not realize that I have fallen immediately. And so he keeps walking, and then like I call out, I'm like, Dad, you know, I'm on the ground, like, ugh, and there's so many people all around me, it's hard to get up. And my dad turns around, and he sees his like offspring on the ground calling out his name. And my dad's like a football player type. He's like a big dude. I know, I got the genes. Thanks, Mom. But my dad goes into like alpha male mode, you know, like gazelle calling out on the African plains. And he's like, no, you know, he's gonna come move to protect me. And so my dad starts walking through this really this dense crowd towards me. And this is the part that I'm like, remember this clear as day as a 7-year-old. So this is my 7-year-old filter. I remember like one or two guys, one poor guy put his hand on my dad's chest as if to say, buddy, you're going the wrong way. He wasn't being mean. He was just saying, buddy, you're going the wrong way. And my dad just went like, boom, whoo, like threw the guy off of him, you know, like moved the other and then crowded out around me, grabbed me by the back of my shirt, picked me up and just kept walking. And I'm like, yeah! You know, like, I'm so pumped. This, my dad is incredible. And, oh, my gosh, no idea if that's how it happened. That's just how I remember it. It was amazing. It's an incredible memory that I have of my dad, and I think it's exactly how God feels about you. God walks right into the crowd of all the reasons why he shouldn't like you, love you, be close to you, believe in you, and he's just like, bam, bam, get out of here. Anybody want to come against me? I'll take you down because that's my boy, that's my girl, and I love him, and there ain't nothing you're going to do about it. That's what it means that God's your father. Like, he loves you fiercely, but not just that. Let me give you another one. He is with you. He is with you. I wonder if you have, I think we all have had somebody leave for some reason at some point when they deemed it was worth leaving and it hurt. I think a lot of us are afraid that God's gonna do the same. I mean, listen to our prayers. How often do we ask God to be with us? God be with us, God be with us, God be with us. And maybe you are convinced that there's some amount of things you could do or say or not do or not say that would make God go, peace out. And that might be how cloud God works. That might be how old man God works. Maybe he falls asleep at the wheel on you and he is not with you at all times. That is not how Father God works. Father God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you. In fact, not only will I not leave you, you can't escape me. Y'all ever read this in the Psalms? He said, if I go up to the highest heavens, if you go up to the highest heavens, even there, I'll be with you. If you go down to like the deepest depths, you get in a sub in the Mariana Trench, even there, I will be with you. Even if you go to the far side of the sea, even there, I will be with you and my hand will guide me. You cannot outrun me. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there, you don't have to fear. Why? Because I will be with you. And all his strength and all his power and all of his comfort will be yours. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, not only will God never leave you, you cannot run away from him. You can't escape him. And that's what it means that God is your father. He is with you. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Well, hey, let me just give you one more. God is for you. And this one kind of breaks my heart because I know that there are people in the room today and God at some point, I mean, somebody at some point has told you that God is not for you. Or they treated you in a way that communicated, God's not for you. And you're so convinced he's not for you. And I just want to tell you, that might be how some other God, some other picture of God, it might be how that God works. It is not how Father God works. Father God is for you. Oh my gosh, God is for you. Paul says in Ephesians, he describes it this way. He's like, you are God's workmanship, God's work of art. This is how God views you. Like when God looks at you, God looks in not just the present, he looks in the future and he goes, you're my masterpiece, whom I'm creating in Christ Jesus, or I wanna create in Christ Jesus for something amazing, for good works, which I'm already thinking about for you. And I just wanna tell you this, whether you're like 13 in the room or 73 in the room or somewhere in between, man, if you could see for like 1 second what God sees when he looks at you, if you could see for 1 second what God sees when he looks at the next 5 years, the next 10 years, the next 20 years of your life, if you could see for 1 second who God sees you becoming, where he sees you going, what he sees you doing, the impact he sees you making, the decisions he sees you making, the legacy he sees you leaving, the influence he sees you wielding, the health he sees you finding, the freedom he sees you walking in. If you could see for 1 second what God sees when he looks at you, it would blow your mind. And you have a heavenly Father who is for you. And it's not just that he's planning for you, like he's got great things he's dreaming of for you. It's not just that. God is so for you that he is coming for you. In fact, that's Jesus. Do you know that? If you just had to sum up Jesus in one sentence, Jesus is God coming for you. One of my favorite Jesus stories is actually a story where Jesus is doing his thing and he looks off to the side and he sees a funeral. And it's this young man being brought out to be buried, and his mom and then these mourners are with him. And Jesus is like doing his thing. And he's like, hey, yeah, hold up a second. And he walks over and he goes, hey, y'all need to stop. And they're like, what are you doing? This is not your business. This is a funeral. This is a sad moment. Just butt out. And he goes, no, you need to stop. Mom, you don't need to cry. Like, your son's not dead. And they're like, get out of here, man. This is crazy. And he goes, hey, watch this. Young man, get up. And the young man got up. Y'all with teenagers, imagine. He's like, Mom, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know? Son, Jesus just interrupted your funeral. What an incredible moment. I'm so glad it's like historically recorded in the Bible, because I think it's there to remind you and to remind me that you have a heavenly Father who will always, always come for you in Jesus to bring what's dead alive. To bring what's dead back alive, be it your past, be it your present, be it your relationships, be it your decisions, or most importantly, your soul. He is for you. He's not just planning for you. He is coming for you because he's your Father. That's what it means that God's your Father. He loves you. He is with you. He is for you. And there's nothing that can stop him. There's nothing that's going to dissuade him. He's not gonna change his mind. That's who he is. So I just wanna ask, hey, what do you think about when you think about God? And do you wanna trade it for that? For Father? Because you can. You can. Because of Jesus, you can. And maybe you need to. In fact, if you're someone who feels far from God today, or you're confused about God, or curious about God, or skeptical about God, or just kind of wondering what's up, maybe you don't even consider yourself a church person or a Christian, this is the takeaway for you today. I just want you to know. The whole point was I just wanted to tell you, hey, God has a heart that beats for you. I know someone may have shown you something different. Maybe they've told you something different. But Jesus would like, if he could, to step in the middle and go, nah, he's a Father. He loves you, he's with you, and he's for you. And maybe you need to trade some tired old idea today for the real deal. He's your Father, and you can. If you were a Jesus follower, however, if I could, I'd like to add one more layer on top of that. I just want you to know that this is the heartbeat, not just of God, that he's your Father. This is the heartbeat of our church. That the thing that is going like that is pumping out life and energy and passion and generosity and sacrifice into this body wherever we be, whether on Sunday afternoon or in your home or at the business place or in your gym. The thing that's beating at the center of East Cobb Church is that we, against all odds, miraculously somehow, we have a God who is an unbelievably mind-blowing, epic heavenly Father. And he loves us, and he is with us, and he is for us. And that's what makes him worth singing about. That's what makes it worth gathering to get to know him more, whether it's here on Sunday or in small group. It's what makes him worth trying to trust him with more of our lives, with our kids, with our future, with our business, with our money, with our problems, with our anxieties. It's what makes him worth getting to know. It's just our heartbeat, the dung. You know, it should be the thing. And we just can't get over it. Like, that's how good God is. He's so good, we just can't get over it. And what we also can't get over is the fact that, man, I don't know about you, but so many of my like neighborhood friends and just round the town friends and random people friends don't know that. I can't get over that. Like, they've misunderstood God, or they've gotten God confused, or somebody gave them the wrong idea. It's not even their fault. Somebody was like, yeah, this is who God is. And they're like, I guess he is. And they're just walking through life with this wrong idea about who God is. Like, they got fake news about God. And we can't get over it, because the real news is just too good. Like, the real deal, it's too good not to try to join in the narrative and join in the conversation in East Cobb and all the surrounding neighborhoods about who our heavenly Father is. Amen. I hope that's something that we carry with us, East Cobb Church, wherever we go, that no matter where, whether we're at work, we're at play, we're at home, we're with family, we're with friends, that somebody will check our pulse. They hear, they feel the dun, 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 dun. God is your Father. And we just can't quite get over it. It's so good. What do you think about when you think about God? And what if he really is a Father? Like, what if he really does love you? What if he really is with you? What if he really is for us in supernatural ways? I believe that he is, and that's a heartbeat of this church. And I know many of you do too. Let me pray for us and we'll conclude. God, I just thank you for that truth. It's amazing. For thousands and thousands of years, no one even knew they could call you that. And because of Jesus, we get to. Sometimes I just take it for granted. Like, I can say that word, that you're my Father. And that is insane. I don't deserve to call you that. And yet I can. And I am so grateful. God, let that just explode our hearts this afternoon, that you are Father. Whether it's the first time we've heard it or the 5,000th time we've heard it, I pray in a fresh and a brand new way, it'll just ignite us. And God, may it break our hearts as a church, that we live in the middle of a community that deserves to know that too, because there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of fake news out there about God, and we want to tell him what the truth is. So, man, God, I pray that many of us in this moment, in the audience right now, again, for the first time or the 500th time, we'll just take a moment right here and maybe just run to the Father or come back to you for who you really are and let it change us all over again, or change us for the first time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Think about when you think about God, and what if he really is a father that you can run to again and again and again and again? Man, I think that's something that could totally change your relationship with God, and that's a truth that should change our community. That's why it's our heartbeat. It's the thing that's just pumping life to wherever we go and wherever we find ourselves at East Cobb Church. So hey, we are so pumped that you're here today. If you have any questions, if you're looking how to take next steps here at this church, or if there's anything we could do for you, if I could pray for you, I'm going to be back here in our next area with our guest services volunteers, and we would love to answer your questions. I'd love to meet you if you want to stop by. But thanks for being here. We'll see you next Sunday for part 2 of Heartbeat. Y'all have a good rest of the day.